Amen. Give somebody a high five and let's get worshiping today together.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
Come on.
I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you.
Oh, what a day.
You called my name and I ran out of that grave.
That is freedom is all we know.
Now your freedom is all that I know.
Hey.
The old man knew Jesus when I met you.
Yeah.
You called my
for that. We thank you for your presence today.
My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but you called me a citizen of heaven.
Praise to the Lord in this house. You know where He's taking you from. Hallelujah. You know where He's taking you from. Praise the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who
the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Come on.
Free at last, He has ransomed me. Oh, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me.
Yeah!
Yes, He died for me. When the sun sets,
come on, declare,
You is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for identity crisis in the body of Christ. You know who you are. You are a child of the living God, and you have a God who's on your side today. So why don't you take a moment and begin to praise Him all this place. You know who you are today. Don't believe the lie. You know who you are. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who You say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who You say I am.
I am who You say I am.
We declare that. I am chosen, not forsaken.
I am
who You say I am.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. We worship you. Now let's turn our eyes to the heavens today. Just begin to praise God. We declared who we are in Him. Now let's just declare how good He is, how big He is. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Oh, praise Him, all creatures here below. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha. Singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Though the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Holy, overwhelming, never ending, fretless love of God. Yeah. I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. Yes, he has, come on. Hey. I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Hey! Oh, it chases me. That's right, it is. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. You won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, a lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Has anybody ever been there? Hey! There's no shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb. He's coming after you today. There's no wall you won't kick down, a lie you won't tear down.
That he still goes after us. I'm so thankful that he still goes after the one. How many here would say you're so thankful that he went after you? Would you just raise your hand with me and just thank him that he ran after you? Can you just thank him for a minute? We're so thankful that he just chased after us over and over and over and over again. We're just so thankful. Amen. I'm so thankful. In Luke, it says he went after the one, right? To go after the one. He leaves the healthy to go get the unhealthy to make them healthy. Amen? Amen. So I want you to tell about two people. I'm glad he came after me, and you may be seated. I was just so into the worship, and my husband's tapping me like, go, honey, go, it's your turn. And I'm just, you know, amen, I'm spirit-filled, woo, amen. Nobody else felt that way this morning. Well, we'll work on you. God is so good. He's so good. Charleston Church, will you welcome all the guests with us today? We're so glad you're here. We're glad you're in the house. If this is your first time here, if you would take a contact card and you would just fill that out. It's in the seat right in front of you. Take that, fill it out, put it in the offering bag. Everybody needs a good church. Amen? Amen. And this is a good church. It's a great church. I shouldn't have gone so low on that. It's an awesome church. Yes, it is. Today we have so much going on, and it's going to be an exciting day. Amen? Amen. Dalton, if you would bring up the people that will be getting the certificates today, I'm just going to give a few announcements. How many know what tonight is? I've been really praying for the better together tonight. It's not going to be so great that, I mean, some of you are going to get some prizes where you have a giveaway for a couple to just go away, and that's going to be awesome, right? I'm going to put my name in there. No, I can't. I'm staff. They won't allow that. So, but there's going to be something about just being together and talking about marriages. How many know that God is the one that created marriage? And he wants it to be healthy and good. And it's just going to be a good time. If you are married, come. If you want to be married, come. If you don't want to be married and you're married, come. Okay? It's for everybody. We everybody. And this Tuesday on May 8th, it's going to be our senior luncheon, and if you're 55 and up, we want you to come, and they know how to cook. I go. I'm not that old, but I will be there to eat the tacos. You should have got a little better laugh on that. We're so thankful for Dalton Dunphy, aren't we, at this church? We have a couple people to just share with you today that they're the one that God went after, and we're so thankful.
We take the new Christians really serious here at Charleston. And when Jesus was here on earth, he said, build disciples, make disciples, he said. And we feel here at Charleston that when somebody accepts Jesus and they're a new Christian, to not help them grow would be like when a new baby's born physically, not to nurture it. So as they graduate, not all of them, but many of them, we publicly bring to your attention, because there are so many people here, and it's exciting to know their backgrounds. Everybody has a story, and Jesus loves everybody. When we accept Christ, the past is history. The first lady, the only lady up here this morning. Sorry, David. This is Donna Nason, and Donna came to us maybe 2 years ago, maybe, roughly, and she wasn't coming here very long before her husband passed away suddenly, and Donna's been through a whole lot, and we talked to her about these basic foundation classes, and I've gotten to know Donna a bit, and I've seen such growth in her. I mean, I really have. I've seen her. She has a family, and she has a daughter that's not well, and she works at the school department with special needs children in the city of Bangor. Very special lady. But I watched her as she began these classes, and I watched her as she graduated, and there's been great growth. And we love you, Donna. And just share with the church maybe what Jesus means to you, what the church means to you, what the classes mean to you. I'd like to say this, that we teach these students one-on-one. Sometimes as a couple, but it's always it's individualized, and that is so special. God bless you, Donna. Just share whatever you'd like.
Well, my testimony actually begins in May of 2016. Ray was coming out of a procedure, and he coded, which he was in the hospital off and on through our 17 years of marriage, but he looked at me and he says, I'd like you to share something. And I said, okay. And he said, you know, tell people that heaven is beautiful and that God is a big, beautiful light. And he said, it's going to be soon. Well, in my mind, 2 years could be soon. But about a week after the funeral, I asked him why I couldn't go with Ray. And he said, because you have a job to do. So I said, okay, I can do a job. I'll do a job, then beam me up, Scotty. I'll do a job. And then he said, you're going to lead people to Christ. I'm like, okay, we're talking me here. So, my son started coming to church in September. He gave his life to Christ in November. And I was very humbled. I mean, I grew up Catholic, a Catholic church, and I can say I have been on my knees more in the last year and a half than I was growing up in the Catholic church. And I have learned God is in control, and lean on God for everything. And I've had coworkers come up to me and ask me, of everything you've been through, you've still got a smile on your face and you're bubbly. And I said, well, I'm going to say this. I said, always have faith and always put God first. And then I kind of, you know, walked off and went and got the kids that I had that day. And like, oh, okay.
We're proud of you. We are so proud of you, Donna. God bless you. That gentleman is a very spirit-filled man. He's the real deal. The Holy Spirit spoke directly through him to you personally. You must be very special. God bless you. Here is your diploma, and here is your study Bible, Donna. And it's obvious that God is going to use you to touch many lives. And we're so proud to be a small part of your spiritual growth. God bless you. We love you. You can get out. This is David O'Clair. You've been coming here for about 2 years, roughly?
Yes, I started in September 2016. I come from up on the hill.
Yes.
Charleston.
And Paul Rogers was preaching when you came to the altar and made a total commitment to Jesus, I believe.
January 27th, 2017.
January 27th, 2017.
Yes.
David is one of the sweetest gentlemen you'll ever meet. David had a Christian mom. He's going to tell you about that. But he got into drugs, got into alcohol, and he spent 5 years in prison.
I did.
And the last of it, he was up here on the hill. And his friend Bill brought him down here every Sunday night to church for a long period of time. And he's just so saved. And I just praise the Lord. It's so beautiful. He lived in Milford for quite a while after he got out. He traveled here two services every Sunday. That's 45 minutes each way. That's 3 hours each Sunday of driving.
All for the Lord.
All for the Lord. And now he lives a bit closer. But David, just tell him briefly what God has done for you. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Yes, my name's David O'Clair, and when I was a young man, Pastor Paul Meserve was my pastor in Great Works, Wayne Meserve's dad. And it was a great connection when I first came here and I sat down in the front seat, which I sat there in the evenings as well. But I grew up as a Christian boy, then I got away from it when I was 13. And I started doing all the sinning stuff that I shouldn't have been doing. I've had children. I gave them the choice to go to church or not go to church. I wish they would have went to church. And now I got my daughter. I've got my daughter here. I got some other company here that I was very shocked to have in here, with being here today. And my grandson, he was a premature child. He was 2 pounds 9 ounces when he was born, but thank the Lord he's here with me today. He loves his papa. And I was just blessed with all the people that helped me through. Being a prison, and when I came here, Bill picked me up, Sutherland picked me up the first time in September of 16. And I looked at him, and I was staring at him through the rearview mirror, and he was staring back at me. We knew each other 40 years ago. Now here we are, brothers in church. And 2012, I made a very bad mistake. I was going to take the life of my wife as well as myself, my ex-wife. She had to get a divorce for the place that she's living in because they was afraid if I got out of prison that I would go to that place. Well, I am a changed man. And I was asked to take these disciple classes, and the instructors were excellent for me. I got to talk about how I felt, how I knew the Lord, and I also got down on my knees December 2nd, 2012, and I asked the Lord, if you go through this with me, I will live for you. And this is what I'm doing. because I want to put on, go to different places to do the AA meetings. I'm 5.5 years clean of drug addiction. And the Lord sent me to a place last night in Hamden, a detox center. There was no one there to talk to, but you know, the Lord opened that door for me to go in there to let them know how I was and what could happen to them, and just get the spiritual part in your life and you'll be able to walk with God. As Sister Darcy mentioned last week, 2 Corinthians 5:7, just walk through with faith, not with sight. And Vinny, I have got God-fidence. I sure do. Because I ask God to lead me through the day before I even get out of bed. I just ask the Lord for everything that I do nowadays. And life is so much better. I lost a lot of people when I first got out. I lost 4 people right in a row. And the Sunday before my mom passed, she asked me if she could come to church with me. I said, well, I got to wait till Nancy comes back so I can get on the register. So, because she was down here to Westgate Manor. And she walked me out to the door and she said, I really want to go, Davey. I said, Mother, as soon as Nancy comes back, I will bring you to church, because she was a very godly woman and she loved the Lord, and she brought us children up to love the Lord. But before my sister got back, I had 2 sisters were out on a cruise, and I believe it was kind of planned through God, because my mother told me when I was up on the hill, Davey, I'm tired. I just want to go home to my mother. I just want to go home. So I went down there after church because I knew she wasn't feeling well in the evening, and I talked to her. She had all her stuff laid on her bed, covered up with a sheet. I said, Mother, what are you doing? She says, I'm going home to Mother. And I knew what she was talking about. She was going to heaven. My mother never got to get here, because she passed before my sister got back. This is her Bible, and I bring this every Sunday with me. Things that fall out of this just fall on the floor in front of me. I just love the Lord, and I thank all the people that done the classes with me. It's made me a better person. I got to tell a little story about Dalton, because Dalton wanted to be the first one to give me my first class. While I was sitting here for 4.5 months, maybe 5 months, Lois was a little under the weather, and I said, don't worry about it. I'm not going anywhere, and I'm still here today. God bless each and every one of you.
Don't ever give up on praying for your wayward children. Sometimes it takes years, but the story goes like this. He visited his mom, and she says, are you all right? And he says, I'm all right. And I'm okay. And then she went to heaven. She knew that her son was okay. And today he carries the Bible that his mom gave him. Isn't that good? You know, I think it's healthy for us to realize that Jesus Christ changes and redeems lives. You're a great example. There's your diploma. Here's your study Bible. And God bless you, brother.
Amen. We're so thankful. We're so thankful for our miracles in the house, and he is one of them. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come, we're going to give our offering and tithes this morning. I was praying this week, and I had talked to a lady a couple weeks ago, and she said, you can come right on down. She had said that she had been going through a difficult time financially, and she was going for her doctorate, and she had 4 children, and just financially, emotionally, it was tough. But she went for an interview a couple weeks ago. She just graduated yesterday. And you know, she's starting out with $15,000 more than what she thought. Can I just say, God cares about every detail of your lives. Every detail. Every detail. And when we're faithful, he is a God of blessings. And how many here would say you know him as that? Amen? Amen. Let's just pray and ask the Lord to bless this offering and the rest of this day. God, we just are so thankful that we are able to be in your house today, that we're able to be together, God, and we're just so thankful for what you have for us. I just thank you, Lord, for every person in this church. I thank you for their faithfulness and their giving hearts and how they're faithful in their tithes and how they're faithful in their offerings and how we can do more than we've ever done in our community and all around the world. We're just so thankful for what you're going to do. Bless this service. Let not one person here leave the same today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. Is everybody doing good? That's awesome. Look, I've got something real special that I've been looking forward to since I found out we were going to do this morning. But how many of you have heard over the past week and a half or so about this terrible tragedy of Corporal Cole passing away? It has touched the entire state from Fort Kent to Kittery, and happened to be in contact with Sheriff Morton this week, and I asked, would you come this coming Sunday morning and share what God has done through you and in law enforcement? And you're going to hear this morning actually how our church was a bit indirectly involved with some of what took place. And this is not Troy Morton's first time with us. Spoke at a men's gathering a few months ago and did a fantastic job. And we're so grateful for the law enforcement that God has given to the state of Maine. And I would ask you to give a warm Charleston Church welcome to Sheriff Troy Morton to this platform this morning.
Church. Well, I'm away from my family church, but boy, I sure felt welcomed here today. This is wonderful. Thank you so much. It's truly a blessing and an honor to share a short testimony dear to the law enforcement community. It was on the early morning hours of Wednesday, April 25th, when I received a call from my command staff. They advised me that a Somerset County deputy sheriff was missing, and they feared he was dead. Within moments of arriving at the command staff in Norwich Walk, I was escorted to a lawn approximately 100 yards away from the command center. When I reached there, I found, with others, Corporal Eugene Cole, Somerset County deputy, murdered and still lying on a lawn. I prayed for Deputy Cole, his family, and our law enforcement community. I knew this was going to be a test of our faith like no other tragedy. During the 3-day manhunt, I learned a lot about Corporal Cole, the love of his family, the great community man that he was, and the love of his music. With no leads immediately developing, I saw the pain that Corporal Cole's family and the law enforcement community were going through. During the evening of the second night, I was scheduled to speak at an interfaith community healing and prayer event surrounding opiate abuse. I thought, how can I speak with so many emotions flowing? While praying in my vehicle,
it became clear I had to speak. This epidemic is killing our families, our friends, and even our law enforcement. During the event, we were reminded how music is healing. I heard that again this morning. The following day, I learned more about Corporal Cole and that he was truly a gifted musician. It was clear the Lord was standing with us, even in this tragedy. As days and times passed, with no rest made, the frustration and the constant questioning continued. Our families even felt the pain as well. I had not seen my son for nearly 3 days. On Saturday morning, I was scheduled to attend my son's first baseball game of the season, and it was clear it was the most important thing for his dad to be at the first game. At the time, I was assigned to operations in Norwich Walk, still at the command, and made arrangements for somebody else to cover my position, only to find when we reached the baseball field that the game had been postponed till the afternoon. After leaving the baseball field and watching my son turn away, I asked the Lord why again. As I traveled to Norwich Walk, I felt I was doing everything that he had asked. And just as I arrived in Fairfield, I turned off the exit, stopped into a store to collect my thoughts, grab a beverage. I met a man in the store who looked at me and wanted to pay for the beverage and thanked us for what we were doing, told us that he was praying for us daily. And he thought today was the day, his words. And I said, today will be the day. Let's pray that this is the day. I responded back to the command post, and as I walked in, before I walked in, I reached into the glove box of my patrol car and took out something that's very personal to me and really a gift from many of you. Some of you are aware that nearly 2 years ago, about six church families came together and provided the thin blue line dog tag. This is the American flag with the thin blue line. Law enforcement is recognized with the thin blue line, standing between evil and good, sometimes life and death. More importantly, on the back of our dog tag is a scripture from Matthew's, chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. Your church family here and several others helped us a couple of years ago fund these so that we could provide them to every law enforcement officer, corrections officer in the entire county of Penobscot. And I want to thank all of you again for that. I keep these in the glove box and I share them, perhaps that small symbol of God's love for each of us in our profession, and always find that there's a time when we can share those seeds. As I walked into the command post that morning, I thought, this is the time. I looked at the executives, a small group of us in the command post, and I reached into my pocket and pulled out four of these dog tags, giving them to the commanders in charge. And we prayed. Interestingly enough, a photo was captured inside the facility of me in prayer and somehow was shared with the media. The powerful message that I heard with so many, thank you for praying, Sheriff. It looked like you were praying. My response is, yes, we were. About 2.5 hours after, I feel God rewarded me and rewarded the community. The murderer was arrested and was brought into custody. I put my hands up and felt that this was God's reward to me for my sacrifices, the small sacrifices that I made in this. And had I been at my son's ball game, I wouldn't have been there. And I know you all want to know, did I make it back to the game at 4 o'clock? I did. Perhaps the benefits of blue lights in your car sometimes. I ask for your continued thoughts and prayers for Corporal Cole, his family, and our law enforcement community as we honor his ultimate sacrifice this coming Monday. I'm going to read a short statement from my law enforcement Bible. Interestingly enough, those in the mentor conference heard me speak about this. I'm struggled that there are some places that don't want us to bring the Lord to them. Perhaps you step in and you're not allowed to bring your Bible into a certain place, but what I found was if you put a badge on the front of it, you can take it anywhere. So, police work is God's work. Police work is tough work, but police work is God's work. Knowing this can be a source of strength and encouragement on those days when you are tempted to turn in your badge. Someone once said, "Who can understand the why can live with the what and how." Church friends, we all face tests. We all face fiery tests. We cannot surrender to evil. Please don't ever turn in your badge. God bless you all.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it very much. While you're standing, go ahead and grab your Bibles and open them to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Thank you, Sheriff Morton, Penobscot County Sheriff. We're so grateful for your faith and for your consistency. A strong believer, as you could sense today in his voice. And we continue to pray for the Sheriff's Department, all of our law enforcement, if many people that are first responders are part of our church family. The funeral is tomorrow, is that correct, Sheriff? For Corporal Cole, and so we'll be doing something. They are raising some funds for that expense of that funeral. As you can imagine, they're expecting up to 10,000 people at the Cross Center tomorrow, and so we'll be doing something financially to help as a church, and so thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate you so much. Is your sister here today? Did you see her across the crowd? Where is sister? Over here to my right. Hey, that's so... I don't know if she's a spy, and he's got her here checking me out, but I've not said anything to get me arrested yet, but now that you're here, the chances are stronger. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. One scripture for your reading, and you're going to see a miracle today. I'm going to preach for about 20 minutes. We won't say when the clock starts, but I'm going to preach for 20 minutes. Then the rest of it's just talk. Verse 13, "For the Lord's sake, submit to all authority, whether the king as head of state." I want to talk to you this morning briefly, and I had already been preparing to speak to you out of this verse, and then when I spoke with Sheriff Morton, I felt even stronger to do it. I want to talk to you about how honor guards. Honor guards our life. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, "It's an honor for you to sit with me today." Would you please? Tell them it's an honor that you could sit with me today. In response, you can say, "I must have done something right. I must have done something right to sit with you today." Thank you for your prayers for Sky. Sky is home recovering, had surgery on Thursday, went home yesterday. That stubborn old bird had half his colon removed. They thought they would have to give him the bag, but he doesn't have to have that, and I don't need to go into more detail on that, but that's a blessing. And so we just thank God for his strength and help. Keep him in prayer. They'll hear more results this week. We believe they're going to be good. Honor, honor, honor. Let me just do this real quickly because I think it's something that could help you. We understand that being a part of God's family makes us have the access to what God has for us. But not all of it is automatic. There are some things that God expects from us that he says there'll be results to. And honor is one of those. Now, in our culture, it seems like honor goes about one way. If we can get around somebody who's famous or popular, we want to give them honor. But in the church, specifically our church, we believe that honor is 360. Like if you take selfies with Christian singing artists, you ought to take selfies with parking lot attendants. Like honor is not just something that we give to people that we admire. Honor is what we give to people because we believe what Jesus said about them. We don't honor people once they become a part of our church. We honor people as soon as they come through the doors of the church. Too many people refuse honor because they are busy looking at what's not in that person's life, when what we ought to do is recognize what Jesus has done in that person's life and appreciate that. How about a good amen? Amen. Now, again, this is just the beginning of a long other teachings that I'll give at some point, but if I was to sum up the Christian life in one word, I'd say submit. Submit. Living for Christ means that you are submitting your life to him. You're submitting your eyes, your ears, your voice, your priorities, your body. You are submitting everything to God. And if anybody ever told you Christianity was anything less than that, then that's a false Christianity. The Bible says we are to give ourselves completely to God. And if God will have it, how many think God should have it? Now let me give you three. I just found these fascinating definitions of the word of submission. Are you ready? Number one, it'll come on the screen. This is the first definition I've found. The conscious steering of thoughts, strengths, or abilities to an order, direction, protocol, or process of office. You have your own thoughts, you have your own abilities, you have your own strengths. You decide what you do with them. You decide, am I going to take all of these things that God has given to me, and am I going to submit them to him? Am I going to submit them to the organization that I'm a part of? Or am I going to withhold them? Second, another definition is the leadership and control of passions and potentials for a greater point or cause. We understand that we have something that the Bible calls the flesh. Maybe if you're not familiar with that term is, your old stinking attitude. And I think we would have to admit at times, it's not easy to submit. Why? Because we are the problem. There is no medical cure for jerk. Can I good an amen? And so we've got to realize that it takes a relationship with Christ to bring our bad attitude or our bad selves into the place where we will allow God to put people in our lives that can have a say and give accountability. Third definition. The manifestation of trust and obedience to an authority or authorities. When there's a lack of trust from one end to the other, there'll be a lack of submission. And so to expect honor from somebody really is not realistic until you've earned their trust. Shut me down. So we've got to get to that point where we realize that it's not just words. If I'm an honorable Christian, I'm going to have actions. A little less talk, a little more action. That's just three simple definitions. You don't have to remember them to get to heaven, but I think if you remember them, they'll help you in life. Matt Parker was telling me about Pastor Rigo, who runs the orphanage that we are strongly supporting in Haiti. And Pastor Rigo actually was invited to the president's palace, and they asked him to preach. Not bad. That's a pretty good appointment. And he preached the gospel to the president and his cabinet in his palace. When Pastor Rigo went, it was a palace. When he left, it was a church. And after Pastor Rigo, who had been here, got done preaching, and I wrote down the words when Matt told me about it. The president of Haiti said, if all of Haiti were like the Christians, the island would be different. If your workplace was full of you, how would it look? I don't personally believe, and this is going to sound like a dig, I don't personally believe a Muslim should get a promotion before you. I don't personally think a Buddhist should get a promotion before you. I don't personally think an atheist should get a promotion before you. I don't think a backslidden Christian should get a promotion before you. Why? Because if we genuinely have Christ in our lives, we will not only talk about honor, we will manifest honor, and it gives God the glory. It must have been in the mind of Peter that this would be tough, because he said, for the Lord's sake, submit to the authority. You might think, wow, I mean, that was Bible. That must have been easy. No, Peter would not have put for the Lord's sake, because sometimes the only way that you'll submit to authority is just because you're a believer. It's quiet in here, and I don't mind. I'm used to it. I'm trying to help somebody to realize tonight that the Bible says if you will honor those natural earthly authorities. Now, when I began to let God speak to me out of 1 Peter 2, and then I realized, do you realize the tragedy that happened with Corporal Cole's death was the culture's, how many understand this culture's going weird? How many understand things are a bit sideways right now? And the only reason that this is, and it's unbelievable how much lack of submission there is to any kind of authority in our world. But I'm going to just stand up and say real, I'm not saying it for the sheriff's promote, because he hasn't stopped me yet, so, but someday he might. And I just stand up and just say this to you. Anybody with a uniform deserves honor. Anybody with a badge deserves honor. Anybody that's laying their life on the line, it's not a cultural thing, it's a Christian thing. It's not a cultural thing, it's a Christian conviction. Are all perfect? Well, are you? I think, thank you, one honest person. You bet, best of you better watch your purses and wallets. There's one honest person in the church Sunday morning. But I will tell you this, when you honor somebody that's over you, and they start bragging on you, then you can stand up and give God all the glory for it, is what I'm trying to say. Verse 14. Or the officials he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people that make foolish accusations against you. Well, people are talking about me. Well, give them less to talk about. That's really good preaching. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Give them less to talk about. You want the dog to start stop barking, muzzle them. And I believe that when we begin to live honorable lives, we give our critics and our enemies and our haters less to deal with. See, honor is not something that you do when you're without. Honor is really tested when you have. Daniel is serving a wicked king named who? Come on, Sunday school alumni. Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is an idol worshiper. Nebuchadnezzar is so corrupt. You know, most idol worshipers made images of animals or of others. Nebuchadnezzar was so wicked, he made an idol of himself. The first selfie. Nebuchadnezzar made it. But not the last one. And he has this vision, this dream, I should say, and he has thousands of spiritists in Babylon. They've been breeding them. And he only asked for one to come and interpret it, a child of God named Daniel. I'm going to tell you today, when God knows that you've got honor in your heart and you can be trusted when you have a position, then when the opportunity for favor comes, God will give you an opportunity that you could never have earned in a thousand lifetimes. If you will honor God when nobody's looking, God will take care of you when everybody is. And when Daniel walked in to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he knew the dream and he knew the interpretation, he began to tell Nebuchadnezzar, that dream of the big tree with lots of fruit is your kingdom, and the person that comes and cuts the tree down is the end of your kingdom, and you're going to lose your mind and you're going to eat grass like the cows. But before he gave that judgment, now you got to realize Nebuchadnezzar had kidnapped Daniel's family, slaughtered many of Daniel's relatives, insulted his education, his ethnicity, taken hostages, destroyed Jerusalem. He is the arch enemy of everybody that would call themselves a Jew. And now Daniel has the king at his disposal. And Daniel's message is one of judgment, punishment. But I think you should just be careful when you read Daniel 4 and realize what Daniel said before he gave that negative message. He said, Nebuchadnezzar, what I have to tell you, I do not want to tell you. And I wish what's going to happen to you would happen to your enemy. But I'm afraid if you don't change, it's going to happen to you. Whew. I'd have become a ninja if I was standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar. I'd have gone Kung Fu Louis. I'd have been Jean-Claude Van Damme. I'd have been Bruce Lee. I'd have been Wonder Dog. I'd have been all of that, all wrapped up in one. And watch this. What Daniel's saying is, my message is judgment, but my attitude isn't. We need some real honest conversations in America one more time. Like, they're trying to quiet us. They're trying to silence our voices. Who would have ever thought in our nation, any state would do their best to make it illegal to buy a Bible? But it's on the verge in California, which a friend of mine told me that's not too bad because we shouldn't be selling them anyways. Somewhere along the lines, the liberals are going to make us start acting like Christians again. It's fun when you're not running for nothing. I just tell it like it is, man. I know you wish you could get up like this. We've got to learn how to stand up and say, the way of the transgressor is hard. Everybody has sin. Everybody's going to hell without a Savior. But we should not make it sound like we're happy about it. You should not tell somebody hell's in their future without a tear in your eye. You shouldn't tell somebody that they're going in the wrong direction and destruction's coming without a brokenness in your spirit. Ladies, one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time. The church needs to rise up in America and say there is one way to heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. And we will fast and pray and serve until you do that yourself. We need it again. We've got to get broken. Come on, help me, Lord. We got to break before the altar one more time. We need to push some meals away one more time. We got to take the holy word of God one more time and soak it into us until it is not us, but Christ that lives within us. As Americans, 8 minutes I've been preaching. As Americans, we have one of the greatest documents written by man. It's called the Constitution. If you don't have one, get one. It's right here in my left hand, a beautiful document. It is actually connected to Daniel's ministry that we can trace the foundational writings of the Constitution. His influence on Cyrus had a tremendous influence on those who wrote this great document. So as an American citizen, I hold this document high. I should practice it. I should know it. I should protect it. I should enjoy its privileges. The moment I ignore it is the moment I start surrendering it. However, Christians have another document. It's called the Bible. Vinny, would you help me here? And yeah, come close. I should have brought my head mic. Hold that. As Americans, we hold this in high regard. But cultural Christians put this above the word. But as Christians, we are to live this way. We put the word above and the Constitution beneath. Are you getting the picture? You getting what I'm seeing? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Yes, I have a right to say anything I want, but the scripture says I have to salt it with grace. I have to salt it with truth. Yes, there are privileges that I have, but I'm going to tell you, these are not the supreme privileges. This is my greatest privilege. But if I live with this privilege, I can better execute these privileges. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting that? You getting that? We are Christian first. But what I'm afraid of is some of you are on social media too much and not in the word enough. And if we'll get in the Word more and on social media less, then when we're on social media, we'll be more powerful. We'll be more impacting. America needs a revival. America needs an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And it's not going to happen through an angel. And it's not going to happen through a voted-in president. It's going to happen through the church. Moms and pops and sons and daughters who will come back to the Word and live full of the Holy Spirit. Our message may sound as one of judgment, but our attitude must not reflect it. Verse 16, whew, help me, Lord. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. God killed Moses. It's not because he robbed a bank. It's not because he led a rebellion. God killed Moses. I know that doesn't fit your popular television preaching, but God did. Because Moses lived dishonorably. We must begin to cherish honor when we're in positions of leadership and when we're in positions of serving. God requires honor from free people. Let me just kind of wrap it up. When somebody says you need to be submissive, if fear is your first response, you're a bound person. I know, I said the S word and all the women are like, he better watch his back after church today. Just because you're submissive doesn't mean that you don't have power. It just means you know how to use your power and you know who you are. I know people think, if I submit to this authority, they'll take advantage of me. I'm going to tell you something, friends. If you submit to God, no man can take authority of you. You got to submit to God first. I'm not afraid of anybody. Can you feel that today? I'm not afraid of anybody because I submitted first to God. And I want to tell you, if you don't submit to God, you ought to live in fear. If you don't submit to God, you ought to be afraid of who serves in office. If you're not living for God, you ought to be afraid of who moves in next door. But if you're serving the Most High God and you honor Him first, He'll be your bodyguard. He'll be your homeland security. He will watch over your life in manifold measures. And some of you, I can feel it. You come in here and you're so fearful about what people can do. It's because you have not submitted to God first. But the moment you submit to God, and the moment you begin to say, I'm God's property, praise God, then the fear that is in there because you don't know who you are flees. And when you begin to realize, we sang it today, when you realize who you are in Christ Jesus, you'll never be a man pleaser. You'll begin to serve God because you know no man can do anything to you. We've got to learn that as free people, see, I found only free people can free people. Some people are saved enough to go to heaven, but they're not saved enough to save. I said that too quick. Some of you are on your way to heaven, but you're not free enough to help anybody else get there. Am I boring you? You're okay? It's like, oh, I just really want to eat. There's so much on TV I'm missing. We've got to get free people. Submit, bound people fight it and rebel. And we've got to get back to that place. You see, if I put a bucket up here and I put a cork in it, I can tell that cork to rise all I want, but until I start pouring in the water of honor, but when I pour in the water of honor, the cork will begin to rise. I remember one time, 2010. Come on, musicians. The people think I'm going to quit when you come. And I was in Louisiana preaching a revival, and it was Micah's birthday, and he had turned 10. And I called him. He'd turned 2 digits, you know. So it was a big deal. I said, Micah, how does it feel to be 2 digits? He said, I don't know, Dad. I just feel taller. He wasn't any taller. He felt taller. Why? Because on your birthday, people honor you. Come on now. I think every person who walks through those doors ought to feel taller. I don't care if they're a drug addict. I don't care if they just walked out of jail like David did. I don't care if they just got out of a cult. I don't care if they're just, worse than that, they've got a lot of religion. I don't care how they walk in. They ought to feel the honor of God because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for that soul because there's something valuable in that person. And if Jesus came from heaven to earth to honor them, then we can do no less. We must honor them as well. Every service, every message, every ministry, every activity, every decision should be to raise the level. Would you not agree that this culture is falling apart because everybody's tearing each other down? There are two sides to the hammer. One, you tear down, and with the other, you build up. May this church be the hammer that builds up. When your mouth disconnects you from honor, you invite poverty in your life. Verse 17, respect everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. Let me conclude. Right on time. King David was not always the king. You remember who was the king before David? Come on, alumni. Saul. Was Saul a good boss? Saul was a bad boss. Anybody ever had a bad boss? Raise your hand unless they're sitting beside you. Come on, raise your hand. How many have ever had a bad boss? Oh my goodness. Right when I didn't think I was preaching to anybody. You can't see what I can see, but like almost everybody raised their hands. Did you all work for the same guy? If you're a boss, just don't look around. You don't need it today, you know. David worked for a bad boss. In fact, his boss tried to kill him. I don't know what your boss has done, but I doubt that. In fact, while he was in Saul's palace, when Saul got in a bad mood, David would get out his banjo. And nobody said bluegrass is playing, and so he... He honored his boss that wanted to kill him with praise. And then he honored his boss by serving him. And you know what his boss did in return? He threw javelins at him. Nice song. How many of you, the bosses you've tried to work for the most and please the most, sometimes can turn on you the quickest? And so this is what David's life was like when he worked for Saul. He served, he worshiped, and he dodged. I want you to help me. This is what you're going to do at work this week. Are you ready? Come on, church. Everybody's going to work together with me. If you don't, you won't. All right. Because there's always somebody that's too cool for school. I promise you that. You're 90 years old, but you're too cool for school. Put your hand out. He served, he praised, and he dodged. One more time. Somebody's going to get a concussion before this service is over right here. He served, he worshiped, and he dodged. One more time. Ready? I'm challenging you right now. This is my challenge right here. When you go to work tomorrow, and if you're still working for a bad boss, when you go to work tomorrow, be the first to show up to work and say, I'm here to serve. I'm here to get the job done. And when your boss does well, say, thank you for being such a good boss. Thank you. Well, am I lying? No, you're honoring. And then when somebody attacks you, go like this. Whoop, just forget about it. I'm preaching a lot. That's good preaching. I think you're doing a good job. When you go to work tomorrow, I challenge everybody in this church. Now, if you're working for me, this ain't for you, okay? Because I won't think you're sincere. I won't think you're being honest about it, and I hate fakes. All the bosses, you ought to be giving me $5 after service. I promise you, it'll be worth it. My challenge is you show up to work before anybody else does tomorrow. My second challenge, you praise everybody that comes around you. Don't you look nice today? Did you lose some weight? Thanks for paying my paycheck last week. I know things are tight around here. Thanks for being so supportive. Thanks. You know what? My kids ate because I got a paycheck this week. In your mind, you're thinking it wasn't enough, and you're busting your tail to get it done. But I'm going to tell you, when you begin to show honor, the Bible says God will give you favor. And when favor comes upon your life, He'll give you advantages that you would never have gotten on your own. So you're going to show up to work early tomorrow, and you're going to stay a little later. You're going to be praising. You're going to begin to say, everybody's doing a great job here. And then when somebody throws a javelin at you, you're going to go, whoop, forget it. I'm forgiven, I forgive you. Whoop, over. Somebody's going to think you're crazy when you do that at work this week. They're going to say, you're no good, and they overstep. You're going to go, whoop, and they're going to go, what is wrong with you? Nothing. I like your shirt. I don't want a religion that's only successful on Sunday. I want a relationship with Christ that gives you victory between Sundays. You know what God did for David? You know what? One time Saul was trying to kill David, and David had the position to kill Saul in all legal right too. And when he could, and his man would have done it for him, he would have had no blood, no fingerprints on the crime scene. He told his men, don't you dare touch him. He's the authority in my life. And if that gets destroyed, my life gets destroyed. I promise you, it's never a good idea to chew up your children's Sunday school teacher on the way home. Or you can't complain about the consequences. And when he did that, God not only took care of Saul, God promoted David. David was one of the greatest kings of all time. David was so honoring that he said, anybody that's related to that guy I worked for, Saul, I want to bless him. And he found out after his Saul's son, his best friend Jonathan died, he said, is anybody in Jonathan's house I can bless? And they said, yeah, there's a guy named Mephibosheth down in a town called Lodabar. He's been crippled from his waist down since he was a child. And David said, call him up. And that man who came up to the palace, who thought because he would be killed because of his connections, and should have been, David gave him honor as well. You honor up, you honor beside, and you honor those who are following you. It's 360. And they brought this man who was crippled and sat him at the king's table, and nobody, and from the table up, nobody could tell there was anything wrong with Mephibosheth. That's what happens when honor takes place. That's what happens when honor takes place in the church of people that should not be at the table. Come on. They get to the table, praise God. And nobody focuses on what they don't have. They focus on what God has done in their lives. Do you realize that's what Jesus Christ has done? Jesus Christ sent his son to this earth to capture those of you, you and I, just like us, who are spiritually crippled and have no right at the table, at the family of God. And yet Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. So how many of you are glad today that you've accepted Christ in your life and you got a seat at the table? I got a seat at the table. I have a seat at the table. I don't have a seat at the table. I don't have a relationship with God because my name, because of my skin color, because of my political alliance. I don't have any, not because of my performance. I have a seat at the table because I've accepted Jesus Christ into my life. How many would agree, and let's not be quiet about this one, that's the best decision you've ever made in your entire life. It's the best decision you ever made. It's an honor. I feel honored to be in God's house. People find all kinds of reasons not to go because they've forgotten that it's an honor to be here. I'm honored. I dishonor God when I dishonor His house. Well, come on, you're here. Why are you going? When I honor Him, I honor His house. When I honor His house, I honor Him. When I dishonor His house, I dishonor Him. And He's brought us to the table. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what all of the testimonies and the worship and the Spirit of God and the Word that is always powerful when we read it and we apply it. But there's somebody here today, you're either far from God or you've never allowed God to in a moment of time, bring you into His family. Maybe you're watching online. This is the day. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. I'm going to move on in the rest of the service, but I just felt right there, that prompting, that somebody's in this church, somebody's watching online, that you realize you're far from God. You're separated from God. Having faith in God does not mean you're connected to God. That just means you know that He's there. I believe that we have a president, but I've never met him, but I know he's there. I believe we have a governor, but I've never met him, but I know he's there. Having a relationship with God is far different than knowing that God's there. And the Bible says that you can have a relationship with him, and as simple as ABC, admit that you're a sinner. Admit it. Admit that what the Bible says is right. Every person is born a sinner, separated from God. Secondly, believe that when Jesus died a brutal death on the cross, it was the punishment for your sins, and he took it for you so that you don't have to take it. And third, the Bible says to confess. Publicly accept Jesus Christ. Throughout the scripture, over and over again, God called people to serve him publicly. And I love you too much to not be obedient to that same pattern today. But I'll tell you, when you make that decision to submit your life to Jesus Christ, you begin to open up a spiritual door that's been closed all your life, and God begins to do something special. If that's you today, you say, when you pray that prayer, I want to pray with you. Slip your hand up straight, nice and high right now, and I'll make sure that I pray that prayer with you. I see a hand over here to my left. Who else? Who else? Say, today I'm not right with God, but before I leave this place, I want to be right with God. Slip your hand up nice and high. All right. Yeah, I see your hand over here, buddy. Praise God. This is going to be an awesome, awesome end of the service today. You can all look forward this way. I'm going to ask those two gentlemen that raised your hands, would you let me pray with you? Would you let me pray with you? Come on, church. Let's rejoice and thank God for these men. You're all right. What's your name, buddy?
Cameron.
Hey, Cameron. Bless you. I'm glad you're here today, bud. Is this your first time here? You've been coming on and off? This is the day that God had in mind. I thank God for you, David. I really do. I like it when men, I like it when everybody comes to Christ, but how many know God's calling men to Christ as well? Praise God. You're cutting your hair where I'm growing it, and you're growing your hair where I'm losing it. I don't know what to think about that. What was your first name again?
Cameron.
Who brought you?
Tony and Sherry.
Tony and Sherry are your aunt and uncle. And your first name is?
Jason.
And Jason is engaged to be married to David's daughter, the man who testified today. David, come here. This is awesome. I like being with people who don't go to church. They don't know what in the world's going on. This is just, and that's awesome. That's what God's doing right now. He's bringing people in. You know what? You know why these two men are here? Because they had family members that honored them. They didn't come to church in spite of them. They came to church because of them. And I want to pray with you two men. If you would, please, I believe that you're sincere in this. We're going to pray together as a family. Dalton's going to come. He's going to pray with you, bud. Dalton. Let's pray this prayer together. Are you ready? We're a family. We do it family style. Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing me here today. You've got my attention. I came in a sinner, separated from you. But I've heard the message today that you died on the cross for my sins. You rose from the grave so you can live in my heart. Please forgive me from all my past. Everything, please wash it away. Remove it from my account. And I invite you into my life. Thank you for bringing me into your family. I am a son of God. I am clean. I have a brand new beginning. And you're going to do things for me that the enemy did not want. Please restore my life from everything that's attacked me. And I want to serve you. I want to be a light. I want to be a help. I want to give people what you've given me today. I thank you for this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's welcome these two men to the family of God.
Bless you, buddy. I'm proud of you, man.
Right here with you. Hey, Tony, what do you think? Bless you, man. Bless you. If you would, Dalton's going to give you a Bible, and we want to do everything we can to help you. All right? Come on, let's give God thanks. He deserves the honor. Thank God. Is that all right, David? Is that all right? Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. You know, Pastor Libby always used to be in a rush because everybody's the ham was going to burn. But nobody uses the oven anymore, so you got no reason to hurry. The microwave will work just as quick. So just chill. What's your name? Nicole, I've met you before. You look very familiar to me. What do you think about what God's done for your dad? It's beautiful, isn't it? It is. He's giving you your dad back. You need a dad. And God's really interested in your family. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Thank God. All right, I'm going to give you a challenge and we're going to go home, okay? And then you're going to get back tonight because we need some extraordinary marriages. So honor your wife. Honor your husband. There's only two kinds of people that are allowed here tonight, single and married people. Okay, that's it. That's everybody. Huh? Kids on the move. There is kids on the move tonight in the Epic Center. And then Ignite, they're going to the gym, but they'll go here first, right? All right. Look, this is my challenge to you. Is it okay if I come down here? If you're nervous, you should be. Hi, ladies. How are you? Who are you? What are your names? Hi, Cynthia. Corinne? Nice. Where are you from? Monson. My goodness, you took a trip here. I'm so glad you're here. I didn't mean to embarrass you. That doesn't seem sincere, but I just want to say hi to you. I just need to come out here. Sick of that platform. I'm in a really odd mood today. Really strange. I think I'm just losing that fear. Wouldn't it be good to have a workplace revival take place? How many of you, just to be honest, you're dealing with some stuff at work and you need God to help you deal with your stuff at work? Just raise your hand. Just, I'm dealing with some stuff at work. I'm not asking about your boss. I'm just dealing with some stuff. Please hear what I'm going to tell you. I felt it in prayer this morning. The Holy Spirit spoke very strongly to me that God's about to give some breakthroughs at the workplace for this church. And it's not magic. It's simply out of obedience to the scripture. Honor. If you will honor those that you're working for, guess what? God will honor you. So that's my challenge for you. Show up early. Now, Rob Rockwell, that's going to be tough. He goes to work at 2:30 in the morning. So don't be slacking. Dennis has gone to the bathroom the second time by 2:30 in the morning. Will you make a commitment to God right now? If you're a boss, and if you're an employee, it's one or the other. How many make a commitment today? I'm going to honor those that I work for, and I'm going to honor those who work for me. I'm going to make the cork rise. I'm going to serve, I'm going to praise, and I'm going to forgive real quick. Serve, praise, forgive real quick. Don't let somebody abuse you. I'm not saying that. But serve, praise, and whoop, real good. Lift your hand now. Lord, I pray your blessing upon every person that's battling that right now. I pray that this week, you wouldn't say it if it weren't possible. It's available to us this week. I pray that you'll give a surge of spiritual breakthroughs, Lord, and we will exemplify and bring your testimony to where we work. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do it. When we obey your word, you fulfill your promise in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for Sheriff Morton today. Lord, for this day tomorrow, it's a significant day. And God, I pray, Lord, I didn't plan on this, but I pray, God, there'll be a special anointing that comes upon this sheriff. There are hurting men and women that are serving this great state. I believe it's your favorite state, the state of Maine. And God, I believe that you can anoint him. He's not here only to be an encouragement to us, but God, you brought him here so that you give him a fresh anointing, supernatural insight, a calm that you've given to him, a confidence, God, that when he goes in front of leadership and when he speaks to media and when he deals with broken and hurting people in this county and now even counties beyond that, God, you didn't cause this, but this is a platform. I decree in the name of Jesus, this crisis is a platform for you, because he's honored those before him, he's honoring those with him and are working for him. I pray, God, that you'll begin to raise up Sheriff Morton, because he's been tested and tried, and God, people's lives are going to be saved because you freed him to do that, in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, let's thank God for him doing that in the sheriff's life. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. Let's stand and let's lift our hands and give God thanks for all he's done this morning. I think you ought to be quick to give him thanks. Would you please, Lord? Right out loud, would you? Right out loud. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in these testimonies, for Donna, for Bill, for David, I mean. Thank you, Lord, for how you're using our sheriff. Thank you, Lord, for workplaces are about to change. The atmosphere, the culture is about to change. Somebody's going to shift jobs because they've been honorable. But we give you praise and honor for it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Would you shake hands with about four folks and say, this is going to be a great week. I'll see you tonight. God bless you.